Hello, everyone. Can you do me a favor? If you are under 21, can you stand on your feet right now? All right. If you are standing right now, can you come up to the front? COVID's over. All right. So we're going to worship as a group, okay? Somebody get excited tonight, all right? Woo! Yeah! Because we are worshiping God that's greater than anything that you can imagine. Nothing compares to our God, am I right? Come on, right now, let's worship right now. Hallelujah! Hey! Oh, nothing compares to your loving kindness. You give life to me, life to me. Whoa, and when I think about it all, oh, when I think about your endless mercies, I just can't hold it back. I've got to shout it out. Sing it, say,
you are good. You are good. You are good. You are so wonderful. There is no one just beside. Nothing in between. We give glory to you and you alone. You are good.
Oh, you are so good, Lord. With me, say nothing.
Nothing compares to your love. Oh, nothing compares to your loving kindness. You give life to me, life to me.
Yeah.
And when I think about it all, oh, when I think about your endless mercies,
hey, what
I
you
can't
do?
Hold it back. I've got to shout it out. You are good. Your mercy's everlasting. You are good. You are so wonderful.
Oh,
there is no one who stands beside. Nothing in between. We give glory to you and you alone. You are good.
Reflect the greatness of your
good.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. For coming out to our Section 7 rally. We are so happy that you're here. And I wonder if we could, for just a moment, give a special thanks to all of our youth pastors and youth workers who make this possible. I believe we have some of the best youth leaders in this section compared to anywhere else, and we're thankful for them. A couple of people that I want to thank before we get too much farther into this is Turning Point Church and Brother and Sister Clatter for opening up their doors and allowing us to worship here together. We're thankful for them, and we love the Clutters. Also want to thank the Ryans, Brother and Sister James Ryan, who did a tremendous job. A tremendous job organizing and working with us. In fact, the after event was pretty much all organized by them, so we're going to have a wonderful time, and they are to thank for that. So be sure when you see them that you say thank you. A couple of upcoming events we have: May 14th, which is a week from tomorrow, I believe. May 14th is going to be our youth camp work day, so we'll be down at Buckeye Lake helping them get everything ready for camp on the campgrounds. This will be the first time in several years now that we've been able to have camp on the campground, so be looking out for registration, which I'm sure is opening soon if it hasn't already. Coming up August 5th will be our next youth rally, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. at the Potter's House in Norwalk, so you won't want to miss that. We're looking forward to a wonderful time there. Immediately following service, we're going to be heading over to Archbold Middle School for our after event. And how we're going to do this is, on your way out, my wife and Sister Ryan will be out there. You can go and give them your $5. They'll give you a ticket. And that way, when you get to the school, you can just hand in your ticket. Go in. We're going to have volleyball and a basketball, and there will also be some food there. So the cost of that is $5. And finally, I am very excited to let you all know that our speaker tonight is going to be Brother Drew Pendergast from Section 2. And here's what I'll tell you. I don't believe there is another person I know who is just a wonderful example of what a Christian should be. Drew is wonderful. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet and has a heart and burden for young people. And here's what I know. He has spoken to the Lord, and God has spoken to him. And if you will open your heart up when he comes to preach, and you will receive what he has to say, God is going to do something special in your life. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that God is going to do incredible things. I was telling them before service, I was praying, and I felt an incredible burden that the Lord was going to do something special here tonight, that there would be a burden placed in our hearts. And you're not just coming to get something from the Lord, but you're going to be sent by God to do his work in your community. And I believe that. Would you all stand with me? We're going to take up an offering. If you have it, once we are finished praying, you can bring your offering up to the front. But I'd like for us to pray and invite God's presence here today. Would you bow your head with me? Lord, we're so thankful
for the opportunity to be in your house, lifting up your name and worshiping together, God. I pray that your spirit would fill this place, Lord, as we open up our hearts and minds to be receptive to the word that you want to speak and the work that you want to do, God. I pray that your presence would fill this place, God, that your burden and calling would flood our hearts and minds, Lord, that you would do exactly what you want to do, Jesus. I pray that you would heal, that you would save, that you would deliver, and that you would call. We give you permission to do exactly what you want to do today, and we lift up your name, for you are worthy to be praised. Can we do that for a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you have an offering, please worship as you give.
Yourself up, young person, to the Spirit of the Lord right now. Can we gather back up at the front, one mind with one accord in one place, so that the Spirit of God can move in this place? In Jesus' name.
There is no fear. Cause I believe. There is no doubt, cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
Lift your voice.
Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire, to what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Water. Yeah.
I believe in you. Stay right there. Say, God, I believe. Come on, lift your voice. In you. Hey, God, I believe in you. Come on, young person. God, we believe. Hey, in you.
God, I believe.
Come on, do you believe in him? Do you believe in him? Do you trust him? God, I believe. Hey,
in you.
Hey,
God, I believe. Of my heart to the depths of my soul, I give all to you. With every breath that I breathe, every song I choose to sing, I give all to you. Every high, low, and every high, I will trust through every storm, through every trial. I will trust, I will trust.
Somebody lift your voice and say, Jesus, Jesus, you're the name I run to. You're the name I call. Say Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Jesus.
No other name by which I am saved.
From the bottom of my
heart. To the depths of my soul, I give all to you.
With every breath that I breathe,
every song I choose to sing, I give all to you.
Through every low,
through every high,
I will trust
through every storm, through every trial. I will trust you, Jesus. You're the name I run to. You're the name I call. Jesus, Jesus. Your name's a mighty fortress, shining bright in the darkness. My rock and firm foundation, Jesus, Jesus. Your name's a mighty fortress, shining bright in the darkness. My rock and firm foundation, Jesus, Jesus. Your name's a mighty fortress, shining bright in the darkness. My rock, the firm foundation, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You're the name I run to. You're the name I call. I am saved. Your name's a mighty fortress, shining bright in the darkness. My rock, my firm foundation, Jesus, Jesus. Your name's a mighty fortress, shining bright in the darkness. My rock, my firm foundation, Jesus, Jesus. Your name's a mighty fortress, shining bright in the darkness. My rock, come firm foundation, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, somebody worship him. Somebody worship the Lord. Somebody give him the praise. Like you know that he's been there for you when you needed the name of Jesus. Somebody lift him up. Hallelujah. Say Jesus.
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 Say Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Come on, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
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 Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Why don't you clap your hands and begin to lift up your voice? If you're thankful for the name of Jesus, if you know that that's the only name that can save us, that can redeem us, that can set us free, why don't you just begin to clap? Why don't you begin to shout? Why don't you begin to dance and give God all the praise? Like you know there's power in that name. Like you know there's healing in that name. Like you know there's victory in the name of Jesus. Why don't you lift your hands right now and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost? Shikatara mahandala bahaya. Come on, why don't we just press a little bit in praise? Come on, till we feel it break. Come on, why don't we just begin to press? Come on, why don't you just lift up your voice? Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about your friends beside you. Come on, when the praises go up, come on, the glory comes down. Come on, we've come to experience a touch of the Holy Ghost, a move of the Spirit. You've got to respond with your voice. Come on, it's okay to stay right here and praise for a little bit. Come on, why don't you close your eyes, clap your hands, and just think about all that he's done for you. Come on, just thank him right now.
thank him for it. You should have been dead, but you're alive. You should be on drugs, but you're delivered. You should be in jail, but you're here tonight. Just clap your hands and thank him for his goodness, for his mercy. It's following you. It's following you. There's no other name. How many of you know there's power in that name? There's victory in that name. There's healing in that name. Come on, there's power in that name. I know we say it, but I don't want it to just be something that you just hear about. I want it to be something that you know it can change you. You know he can deliver you, and he can set you free. And tonight, if you would respond in faith, everybody say faith. Say, I believe Jesus can do anything. Say, I believe. I believe. If you believe, why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord? Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there he be in the midst. And if two of you, just two of you, would touch in agreement that God can do anything, come on, he can do it. But I just believe that there's a lot more than just two or three of you. I believe that there's a whole bunch of young people tonight that believe that, come on, if you need a breakthrough from depression, if you need a breakthrough from anxiety, if you've been battling fear and worry, tonight is your night to get out the shell. Tonight is your night not to worry. Tonight is your night not to fear. Don't you worry about the person next to you. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. As you make your way back to your seats, I am so thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful for God's mercy and his goodness. Had it not been for Jesus, I don't know where I'd be. And he has been so good to me. If we could stay standing for the reading of the word tonight, we're going to go directly to it. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. God has put a burden in my spirit to preach to you tonight. And if you would step out and respond to the word. How many of you know you've got to respond to the word? Because that's where faith meets the word. The word is powerful all by itself, but it needs a little bit of mixture of faith. Amen? So your faith has got to be mixed with the word, and God can do what he says he's going to do tonight. Amen. Amen. And I don't know where I'd be. Like I said, I've been in church for 9 years now. God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was in my college dorm room. I was lost. I was desperate. I was broken 2 weeks prior. I had just gotten arrested. I was living a crazy and a wild lifestyle. I've been out there in the world. I've done everything that you can possibly imagine and think of. But when Jesus gets a hold of your life, it truly changes absolutely everything. Come on, this ain't just some cliche. This is something that I live, that I believe, that I've experienced. Come on, we're not here to just play church and go through the motions. We've come here tonight to hear from the Lord, to get a touch of the Holy Ghost. Come on, one touch from Jesus can change everything in your life. Absolutely everything. And I feel such a sweet spirit and a sweet presence here. And I want you to just look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm not afraid tonight. Come on, I'm not afraid tonight. I'm not going to worry about the person next to me. Come on, I'm not afraid. Come on. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. You know what the Bible says? That perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I'm so thankful and I am honored to be here. And I honor the leadership of this church. Pastor Clutter, Sister Clutter, thank you guys so much for having us and hosting us here tonight. Praise God. And honor the leadership here in Section 7. Brother and Sister Sullivan, y'all are blessed with great leadership here. Praise God. My good friend, Corey Boyd here. I love my brother, Corey. I'm so thankful for you in my life as well and the encouragement. And I'm thankful for my beautiful wife that's here, Kayla. So she is. And I'm so thankful for all your love, your support, your encouragement. And hang on, young people. She's on the way, or he's on the way. But you stay focused. I spent 7 years being single and just running after the things of God. And God put the right person in my life at the right timing. Why am I saying that? Because I've watched the enemy use relationships, even within the church, two people full of the Holy Ghost, but outside of God's timing, be used to pull you down. And just remember this, it's easier to be pulled down than to pull somebody up. God's timing is absolutely everything. And you keep boundaries up in your life and you trust the Lord. Ain't nobody perfect, I understand that. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure that God is putting you with the right person. Amen. Amen. It matters who you're with. It matters who you date. It matters who your friends are. It matters. And last but not least, I honor my pastor. Pastor Gropp gave me a Bible study when I was 18 years old. It took me to Taco Bell and gave me a brown bag Bible study. That was about 6 months before God filled me with the Holy Ghost in my dorm room. Wasn't fully ready to receive it, but the seed was there. And God just began to do a work in me. My life hit rock bottom. I was at the lowest of lows. I didn't even want to live anymore. Didn't feel like I had a purpose. That is such a lie from the enemy. I'm tired of the enemy lying to this generation. Come on. I'm tired of this generation battling depression, anxiety, suicide. That is a lie from the pits of hell because the enemy is afraid of what happens when your generation gets a hold of the true power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just getting a hold of church and playing church. I'm talking about real, true Holy Ghost power. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost makes the difference. It makes the difference. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him and John, Peter said these words, look at us. So he gave them his attention. Watch this. Expecting, everybody say expecting, to receive something from them. Then Peter said these words, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Come on, I already feel faith in this atmosphere right now. Woo! I just feel faith that, come on, we sing about it, but do we believe it? I felt you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So watch as he, leaping up, stood and walked, and he entered the temple with them. Here's what he did. He was walking. He was leaping. He was praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Don't you tell me that what we do is not biblical. Because I got a whole Bible full of people jumping and dancing and shouting. Come on, when Jesus gets a hold of you, when you look back over your life and it, come on, this man was lame for 40 years, but he could not help himself. When Jesus touches you, you don't care what anybody thinks. Sometimes we just got to get radical with our praise, radical with our worship.
Come on, don't you care about what people think and the haters and the criticizers? That's what the Pharisees do. They criticize, but the disciples follow after Jesus. Amen. Do I have anyone that wants to be a disciple in here? Come on, do I have any disciples in here? And after they saw him praising God, then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They were filled with wonder and amazement. They couldn't believe what Jesus has done. That's a true story. I talked to friends from high school, and they're just like, for real? You're what? Come on. You don't have to be defined by the label of your past and your mistakes. When Jesus touches you, he cleanses you, he cleans you, he washes you, and he makes all things new in your life. Don't you worry about what people say about you. You just follow after Jesus with all of your heart. And I feel a burden for this generation. God's raising up this generation. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back quickly. I'm not much of a sermonizer. I just want to flow in the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? We're just going to flow in the Holy Ghost. When you feel to respond, you can respond to the word. And let's just allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. Let's let the Lord touch and move. But I just feel to preach to you tonight on this thought, on this pattern, or this equation. Empty, fill, pour. Everybody say empty. Say fill. Say pour. This equation will change your life, young person. If you tap into this, you watch and see what the Lord will do. So if you believe tonight, if you have expectation, come on, how many of you believe? Come on, I feel it. I feel it just by reading the scripture. I want you to put your Bibles down. And I want you to lift both of your hands right now. Come on, it's just a sign of surrender. Don't be afraid of it. And I want you to just to begin to lift your voice with expectation tonight and call upon the name of Jesus. Come on. In one mind and one accord. That's it. Lift up your voice. Don't be afraid. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are here tonight gathered in one mind and one accord, God. We have assembled together, Lord Jesus, as you have told us to do so all the more as we see the day approaching, Lord God. We're not here to play church. We're not here to play games, Lord God. For we know that your redemption draweth nigh, God. We're looking up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your anointing to break chains, to break yokes, to break bondages tonight, Lord Jesus. You know who's here, who's struggling, who's wrestling, Lord Jesus, that needs to be delivered from the oppression of the enemy. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I loose the gift of faith in the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of fear, and I command it to be cast into the sea. Shataramahaya. But I loose power, love, and a sound mind. Lord God, have your way tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Now clap your hands if you believe that. Come on and lift up your voice and shout. Glory to God. Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have said this before, and I will say it again, and I will say it every single time, that I believe that this is one of the greatest hours of the church. I believe this hour that we are living in is a great hour for the church. And seeing everything that is happening in our world today, this is not the time to have one foot in the door and one foot out the door. This is not the time to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. This is not the time to play games with God, because we need to go ahead and make it up in our mind that no matter what, the church is the best thing going in this hour. Come on, it's better than the clubs. It's better than the parties. Come on, there's no place I'd rather be on a Friday night than to be planted in the house of the Lord. How many of you are thankful for the apostolic church? Thankful to gather together in one mind and one accord and give God the praise and give God the glory. Come on, how many of you want to be planted in God's house? If you'd plant yourself, God will flourish you in every area of your life. Everybody say the church. Say the church. The church is the greatest thing going. It's the bride of Christ. I love to gather together with my brothers and sisters and worship the Lord. I can remember when I was first coming into an apostolic church. I'd come in and I'd hear everyone singing and I would just begin to weep and I would begin to cry. And I'm like, what is going on? What am I feeling? That was a feeling that I had never felt. I had gotten high. I had gotten drunk. I had tried everything that you possibly could out in the world. But when I came into the church and God filled me with the Holy Ghost and I started to get around my brothers and sisters and I began to dance and worship and shout, I realized it was better than any party that I'd ever been to. It was better than any club that I've been to. Don't you let the world lie to you and tell you that the world's got it going on. The world ain't got nothing on the power of the Holy Ghost, on the love of God that's here. Come on, you've got to believe this with every fiber of your being, that I'm never gonna leave the church. I'm planted, I'm staying, I'm committed. Devil, you're not gonna pull me down and take me out. I'm making it up in my mind that I'm in this thing for life. If you're planted and you're making that decision, why don't you clap your hands and lift up your voice? The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower, and the righteous run therein, and they are safe. Being in the house of God, and I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about being connected to the body of Christ, having accountability partners in your life, having a pastor in your life, having the word of God in your life, having prayer in your life. That is the church of the living God. It's not this building. It's the gathering together with one another. There is no safer place than to be in God's house. And everybody say, I am the church. You're the church. I'm the church. Together we are the body of Christ. I can still remember our New Year's watch night service when our pastor, Pastor Tim Gropp, he stood up and he declared prophetically that this year, it was the year of 2020. It was our watch night service going into the year of 2020. And he declared that it was going to be the year of the new thing. And we didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, but my God, was 2020 quite a new thing to happen in our world. It was a prophetic word that we heard from the Lord, and we came into that year with serious conflict between the United States and Iran, and we didn't know if a war was going to break out or what was going to happen, but tension was definitely rising. Then shortly after, we all know, and it still has hit our world today, that the coronavirus, we're facing the after effects, has hit our world. And the pandemic hit our world in a way, in such a way that it has never happened before. There are people in their 90s saying that they have never seen anything like this ever in their life. We were stunned. We were shocked. We had no idea what to do or what God was doing. Businesses was being shut down. NBA and entertainment being shut down. Schools being shut down. Church buildings being shut down. The whole country itself being shut down. You remember that? You remember it wasn't that long ago. And that showed us just how fragile our world is. We can't forget it, and we've got to remember that in the snap of a finger, and I know I'm being heavy and right off the rip, but I feel a burden and an urgency for this generation that God has trying to wake up the church like never before in this last day, in this last hour. He was showing us just how fragile our world is, just how quickly things can be shut down, just how quickly things can change overnight. And it was President Trump that stood up and declared that our nation was going into a month of quarantine. It was the month of April, and it was at that time that all buildings were shut down and everybody was to stay in their homes. What do we do now? We don't have no more keyboards, and we don't have no more worship singers and announcements, and we don't, what do we do now? How are we going to survive? What are we going to do as the church? Can I tell you that the buildings can be shut down? Our world can be shut down. But there is one thing that if you are a true, committed, apostolic believer, your prayer life and the Word of God will never be shut down in your life. You can shut down the buildings all you want to, but the building was never the church. You can't shut my relationship down. You can't shut down the Word of God in my life. Come on, we've got to know that this thing is deeper than a rally experience. This thing is deeper than just an experience on Sunday morning. It's an everyday relationship. Everybody say every day. Every day, we've got to have relationship. And it was in that month that I felt Pastor Gropp told us that we were to repent before the Lord. I believe wholeheartedly that God was allowing this to happen because he was positioning the church into a place of prayer. Not a place of performance, but a place of prayer. A place where if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God would hear from heaven, forgive sin, and heal the land. All of that stuff happens, the if that happens, if we first tap in to prayer. Everybody say prayer. God was calling us to prayer. Why is it so important? Why are you talking about prayer? Because if God has ever shown us anything in 2020, he has taught us it is so vital to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Who knows what tomorrow holds? Who knows what the future holds? But it was in that month for 30 days, God gave us a strategy that we were going to seek the face of God. And my wife can attest to this. We were praying in our homes. The church was praying. We were in agreement. Pastor Gropp called prayer meetings at 6 a.m., called prayer meetings at 6 p.m. Come on. Just because we weren't gathered together in the building didn't mean that we weren't the church. The church didn't change. We were just repositioned. The church has not changed. Come on. That doesn't do anything but allow us to get into a place where revival can spark, where things can happen. God has always used persecution to advance the causes of the kingdom, to spread the gospel further. When things like COVID happen, we ought to rejoice and say, God, what are you trying to teach me in this season? God, where are you trying to move the church in this season? Because I know your church is victorious. I know your church can't lose. I know that you are the king, and God, you're going to do it. So no matter what happens, we are victorious. So we got to shift our thinking to God. I'm trying to get back to the building. To God, what are you trying to teach us in this season? And I believe wholeheartedly that he was calling us to a place of prayer, of intimacy, of relationship. And for 30 days straight, my wife can attest to this, we were on our faces before the Lord. You could feel the glory in the house.
We had prayer meetings like that in the house. We've had them occasionally here and there, but that was a different level than never before, because there was a sense of urgency in our world. We didn't know what was happening or what to expect, but God was positioning the church in such a way that revival was getting ready to spark. And can I tell you, revival happens in the church. Harvest is for the world. And God, we preach about harvest, but harvest is never going to come unless the church is first revived. And the only way that the church can be revived is when the church gets on their knees and say, I'm not in it for performance. I'm not in it for all the I'm in it for a relationship. God, whatever it takes, clean me out, empty me out. I'll seek you in my bedroom. I'll seek you. Come on, we've got to get to a place of prayer that says, God, like never before, I'm going deeper. I'm going further. I'm getting a hold of all that you want me to get, and it's going to be bigger than just a Friday night experience.
Lift your hands and begin to pray right now.
Come on, I want you just to talk to the Lord right now and tell him, God, give me the grace to go deeper in prayer like never before. Give me the grace, Lord God, to tap into you in prayer like never before. Take me deeper beyond this night, Lord God. Take me deeper. Take me further, God. Lord Jesus, call me. Deep calleth unto deep. Lord God, put a burden in me. I loose the spirit of prayer, Lord God. God, baptize me with a spirit of prayer. Baptize me with a holy hunger. Baptize me with a thirst for righteousness. Lord God, you said if I hunger and if I thirst, that I shall be filled. Lift your voice right now and say, God, fill me, God. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. I'm hungry. Can I tell you that it was in the middle of that month, Kayla and I just got out of prayer in our living room, and we heard a knock on the door. We weren't expecting anyone. We didn't know who it was. I looked at her. She looked at me. I answer the door, and it's my buddy Joel that I hadn't seen in 3 years. He was backslidden, because remember, I believe that this was to set up the church. God was calling backsliders back. God was using this to heat up the church, to get us back to a place of prayer, to get out of performance and get into prayer, to get into relationship. And he's crying and he's weeping. I said, what's wrong? And he looks at me. He said, can I just have a hug? He just wanted to get around somebody that had the Holy Ghost that could love him. Because that's what you have. You have the power of love inside of you. And it is love that changes. It is love that makes the difference. Sometimes it's just a handshake. It's just a hug. It's just a word of encouragement in the hallway. We've got to use the Holy Ghost. I can't just profess that I have it. I've got to use it. I've got to love. I've got to put it into action. That's what makes the difference. For God is love. And the Holy Ghost is God. And God is in you. So you are full of love that makes the difference in this world. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of wounded people out there that need the love of God that you have. And how does God get things done on earth? Through his church, through his body. As long as my head can tell me to pick up that phone, I'm telling my left hand right now to pick up that phone, but I'm not doing nothing about it. But the moment my hand comes into agreement with my head, how many know God's the head, we're the body? Then I can make some progress. Then I can take action. That's how God gets work done in the earth. He gets work done through you and through I when we submit and obey his word. Amen? And he's crying. And he's weeping. And we take him into our living room. And it wasn't even, what, baby, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I don't know how long. Kayla jumped on the piano. We began to pray again. We said, let's pray again. backslidden for 3 years, at one point had a fire for God. Can I tell you that it was in our living room that he prayed back through to the baptism of... Don't you tell me that COVID stopped the church. It just allowed us to get into a better position of prayer so that the church could be heated up. Revival is still here, and we cannot go back to church as it used to be, because God's trying to get us to a place where we rethink how we do church. I don't want to just go through the motions. We ain't got time for all that. I want real relationship. I want real Jesus. I want real love. I want real healing. I want real deliverance. I want the real thing, and I want all of it. Is there anybody with me? Come on. Do you want the real Jesus? Come on. Come on. Do you want the real thing? You have it. It's here. It's in the apostolic church when we tap into it. Days we were in prayer every day in our home. It was a time where we emptied ourselves up, and I can still remember God spoke a word to me. I had confirmed, it was confirmed by multiple men of God in my life. He told me these words during that time. He said, things will go back to normal. We have it written in our wall in our home, dated and everything. It was actually in March 20th, 2020, the Lord told me things would go back to normal. He said, but you must not. But the church must not. That we were going to be itching to get back into our normal ways and our normal routines and our normal thinking of church. But God was saying, listen, I'm trying to shake some things up a bit, because I'm trying to position us for a greater revival and harvest that is to come. We came out of that month. We've seen so many things happen. We went into the month of May, and that was the month of filling up. We emptied out in the month of April with prayer and fasting and seeking God's face. We emptied out in that month, and then it was in the month of May that we began to consume the Lamb and fill up on Jesus with everything we had. We began to get into the Word. We began to call more prayer meetings, multiple people. We had youth coming over to our house every night at 6 o'clock. Our living room began to get full. There was 6, 7, 8 of them. They just began to come. My parents weren't in church at the time. Kayla's family wasn't in church. They were backslidden at the time. Can I tell you, now they're the Bible quizzing coaches. Now Kayla's parents, her sister, come on, they weren't even in church. My stepfather got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was playing guitar on the platform. Come on. My whole family's now in church, giving God the glory. Come on, this all happened as a result of prayer. And come on, they aren't looking back. They're pressing forward. We saw more growth in those months than ever before. For 14 weeks straight, we saw multiple people being baptized, being filled with the Holy Ghost. They were just coming out of nowhere. And the Lord gave us the plan, the strategy, the equation. Everyone say empty, fill, pour. And it happened where God did the absolute miraculous. See, there's a time and a period in our life where we've got to learn how to empty ourselves out before the Lord. And this is so vital in this generation, and I believe in this with absolutely everything, because I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've experienced it. And your generation is being attacked on so many fronts with so much junk of media, with TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and everything this world can possibly fill you up with. There's so many of us that are dealing with being filled up with the wrong things. Then we wonder why mental health in your generation is at an all-time high. Why students are dealing with depression. Why students are dealing with anxiety. Why students are dealing with suicide. Why students churches are dealing with all the illnesses mentally. Why? Because this generation is being filled up with all the wrong things. And there is a correlation between what we consume and how we think, between what we put into our spirit, what we listen to, what we watch, come on, what we consume. There's an absolute correlation to it. So there's some times where I've got to empty out all the junk. This is what we look like when we got all that junk in us. But there's some times in our life where we've got to take a time out and say, I'm not touching social media for a while. I need to clean myself out. I'm not trying to be funny here. Jesus talked about eliminating waste, so I think I'm okay. Imagine if you never went to the bathroom. Do you know what would happen if your body didn't get rid of waste? You would fill up with poison and infection, and eventually you would die. The natural teaches us that there is a natural process of learning how to release and cleanse and flush out. Jesus taught about it, so don't look at me like I'm weird. But it's a true thing. It's the same exact thing in the same exact way in the spirit world. And this generation's got to get it more than ever before, because you have more opportunities to fill up on so much junk than ever before. So if you don't get a hold of this, the enemy can get a hold of you and fill you up with poison and junk and tear you down. I feel this burden to teach us this equation. There are some times where we've got to take a time out. We did the same exact pattern, didn't we? This month, or last month in April, we called the young people, we called the youth for a 30-day prayer challenge in April, because the Lord said, don't go back to normal. He said, don't go back to normal. He said, you got to follow the plan. You got to follow the pattern. We challenged them to get off their social media. We didn't force them. Come on, Jesus didn't force anybody to follow him. You've got to make the choice. You've got to choose you this day whom you are going to serve. You've got to make... Ain't nobody going to force you. You've got to have it on the inside that says, I choose Jesus. I choose life. I choose life more abundantly. I choose hope. I choose joy. I choose peace. I choose it in my life. We challenged them for 30 days, and we were in prayer once again. And we were emptying out of all the junk of media and all the things. We challenged them, get off your media, don't touch your media. And then we're filling up of all the things of God. We're getting into the Gospels and learning about Jesus. Can I tell you that yesterday, there's a picture on the screen. There's a picture on the screen. Yesterday was a national day of prayer in our world. I sent a picture. It should be coming up here. It was a national day of prayer. And look at this. Four of our young people got together after emptying out of all the junk, after emptying out of all the nastiness in the world and all the things of the world. And they tapped in to prayer. And they got a burden on the National Day of Prayer. And they gathered together. You can't even see the full picture. They called the principal. That's during school hours. Four apostolic young people. And they said, students, we're coming out the groves, out the... Come on, gather. Gathered together, and they prayed the prayer of faith. We've seen people come out of it, be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, God's up to something. Come on, it's not just for them. It's for you. God wants to spark it in your youth group. God wants to spark it in you. But you've got to believe, and you've got to act, and you've got to follow through. I could tell you story after story. And that's not the only school. There's other schools. And I don't want to expose too much, because God is doing something. And right now he hasn't permitted us to speak of it just yet. I've been released to show this picture. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is up to something in this generation. And you've got to get a hold of it. But can I tell you, that never happened unless first... That month of April, they took time to empty out and pray and fast. There's a prerequisite to revival, because Jesus never resurrects unless there's first a crucifixion. We want to talk about life and life more abundantly, but we've got to understand there first has to be a death before there can be life. A death of social media, a death of my will, a death of what I want, a death of me, a death of selfishness, a death of pride, a death of arrogance, a death, come on, we've got to die out and empty ourselves out of this stuff. Everybody say prayer and fasting. Take it, and I'm talking about even fasting from social media. Because that is what God is wanting to do in our world, is that He would eventually get to a point where we get ourselves empty of all the junk, and then we can allow God's Spirit to be poured out into our lives. We can allow the Spirit of God to be poured out in us. Look at that water now. But I want to show you that God wants an anointing that's an overflow anointing. This is what the overflow anointing looks like. Look at this. Look at this overflow. Look at this overflow. Look at this. Oh, everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, it's overflowing. Come on, it's overflowing.
But I want you to look at that.
Look at that.
You see that residue? Come on.
Everywhere
you go, when you are filled and overflowing, come on. You can't help it. No matter where I stepped, there was change on the job, in your school, in your family. It don't matter. Come on, when that overflow gets a hold of you, it makes the difference. The anointing makes the difference. But we've got to empty ourselves. We've got to get full. And we've got to allow the Spirit to be poured out. Clap your hands and stand to your feet if you believe that God wants to do everything that He said. Come on, baby. I'm coming to a close here tonight. Everybody say empty. Everybody say fill. Everybody say pour. God wants us to empty so that we can be filled, and then He can pour out into your life so that you can overflow and pour out into somebody else's life and make a change and make a difference and make an impact. They were overflowing with the oil. They were overflowing because they made a choice and a decision that they were going to empty themselves of the things of this world. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Listen, there are times when I don't like to fast. I don't like to withstand. I have social media. There are times it gets the best of me. There are times I feel myself scrolling. I'm like, what am I doing? Stop it. It can become addicting. We've got to learn this daily practice or this discipline now. Because these things, if we can get ourselves disciplined and conquer the flesh in these areas, young people, I'm telling you, God's getting ready to release your generation like never before. He's getting ready to release your generation. And we're seeing it. Lift your hands right now. I just feel like someone in here has been wrestling with severe anxiety. Battled with suicidal thoughts. God's calling you to empty out tonight. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He has given you plan. He has given you a strategy tonight.
He has given you tools in your hand tonight to build, to walk forward towards the victory in faith. If you would respond to what thus saith the Lord, lift your hands and receive that. Yes, receive it. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Come on, just stretch your hands forth and begin to pray right now. That's it. Don't be afraid to respond. Come on, right now. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. Reba shaka dala bahaya.
Hey, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
That's it. Tap in right now.
Fill me up.
felt it. The Holy Ghost is moving. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. I want you to press in the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift up your voice in the Holy Ghost. Come on, there's chains being broken. Come on, anxiety's being broken. Depression's being, self-harm. Come on, self-harm, suicide. It's being broken. In the name of Jesus, let it break.